We pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we pray that you would pour out your Spirit on us all today. Continue to work faith in our hearts and in our lives. And Father, may everything that all of us here be straight from you today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, when I went to college, a number of my friends told me, oh, you're going to start to like coffee because when you have to study and stay up late at night, you'll drink it. I never drink it. Whenever I went to seminary, people are like, oh, you're gonna need that coffee as you study and as you kind of do things and you're going to need it. And I just stayed away from it. And now here I am in my mid-40s, and like a year and a half ago, I started acquiring a taste for coffee. Now, not just any coffee, straight black coffee. The darker and bolder, the better. No foo-foo sugar or creams or any of that kind of stuff in it, just coffee, hot or iced. And one of the reasons that I enjoy coffee is the caffeine being poured into my veins, but also I enjoy the community that coffee brings, because you can gather with others as you talk at a coffee shop, so places like Summer Moon or K-Brew or Maple Street, Honeybee, Starbucks. And the empty mug. You can have coffee after a worship service or a Bible study and talk with people. You can gather in those spaces and work and meet with people. And everyone can have that caffeine poured out on them as well. Americans were polled actually this past January, and the survey from Statista, it discovered 74% of all Americans drank some kind of coffee, dripped coffee, iced, cappuccino, whatever it may be. Bottled water is the most popular drink in America, and just behind it, coffee. We want that caffeine poured out and into our veins. And on Pentecost Sunday, we see how Jesus poured out something way more invigorating and longer lasting than caffeine. He poured out the Holy Spirit in miraculous ways in this text in Acts chapter 2 that we find ourselves in today. The day of Pentecost is the first day of pay dirt for all humankind. Jew and Gentile, male and female, rich and poor, they're all ushered into the kingdom of God. And all of it, this is hallmarked by baptism as redeemed children of God. We are endowed with the Holy Spirit as proof that we belong to the one true Lord of heaven and earth. We're united in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So no. In this text, the disciples are not liquored up for breakfast. Instead, this event that we find in Acts 2 jolts the world into taking note that Jesus is up to something entirely new and different. God is coming to live in our midst through the indwelling Spirit of God living inside of us. And so we see in this text that there's all these type of communities being talked about, being discussed. What is this all about? What does all of this mean? Why is there this long laundry list of people and places? What's going on with all these Parthians and Medes at Pentecost? And why is this happening on Pentecost? Well, these are all maybe good questions for us to answer and things we'll look at. Because it says in verse 5 of Acts chapter 2, they were Jews. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. These Jews were ardent and staunch followers of the laws of God. And that's what made them devout. They were very concerned and wanted to live this Jewish religion in the way that they were supposed to. And so they gathered in on Jerusalem. Why? Well, as a devout Jew, there were three pilgrimages that you would take each year as a devout Jew. And one was this festival that you would celebrate, would be the Feast of Passover. And that occurred in early spring. And then you would have the Feast of Weeks, and that would occur 50 days later after Passover in later spring. And it was also called Pentecost because of 50 days. And then you would have this third major pilgrimage festival, the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, and it occurred in the fall. And for all three of these, if you were a devout Jew, you would make the trek from wherever you lived to Jerusalem, to the temple, to give thanks and praise to God. Well, when all of the Jews lived in Israel, this wasn't that bad a trip. It still took commitment, you know, to leave, uproot your family and everything for these period of days, three times a year. That would be a lot. But now, for reasons I don't have time to get into during this sermon, the Jewish people had been dispersed all over all these different countries, and they had all different languages in these different countries. And now they would arrive in Jerusalem to worship in the temple, to worship God, and this is what brought them to Jerusalem on this day of Pentecost. They would make this trek. Now, this would be like us as Lutheran Missouri Synod Christians making a trek to where our church, the main offices are, of St. Louis. Let's say we made a trek three times a year to St. Louis to worship in one of the big sanctuaries there. You would find out who was devout or not, wouldn't you? Because not everybody would want to make the trek. I mean, it would take something. We have to drive, and it would be a 7 or 8 hour drive. Imagine having to hoof it to St. Louis. That would be pretty tough. But that's what people did. They went religiously, so to speak, to Jerusalem, to the temples. Well, God had this as part of his plan. He arranged for all those people to be there on that day. There they are in Jerusalem, in and around the temple. And when they're there, God caused there to be a loud sound, this sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it caught their attention. And that was a miraculous thing. And then all of a sudden, they hear, they're astonished to hear that each person was hearing in their own language that which was spoken. And that was a miraculous thing because they had all these different languages coming together and yet they could still understand. The Holy Spirit was working in a miraculous way. And so this was a message, a signal that the church was now going to bring the good news of the mighty works of God, that they were going to go out to every nation under heaven. Not just to the Jewish pilgrims coming to Jerusalem, but more than that, the gospel would now go out starting from Jerusalem to every nation, both Jews and Gentiles. And Gentiles is basically everybody else. Every person would hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. And it was to be preached in every language spoken around the world. And so now it was starting on Pentecost in Jerusalem, here in this text. Jesus once told his disciples before he ascended into heaven, that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Well, Pentecost on this day is the beginning. It's the moment right here. And in another miracle, Pentecost is the reversal of the Tower of Babel. And the Tower of Babel was something that happened in the Old Testament where people got together and they were like, hey, we're pretty skilled builders. Let's build this tower to reach to the heavens because we're going to go to God because we have the capabilities and the capacity to do that. Well, what happens? God kind of scrambles all of their languages and they're all kind of dispersed and confused and all this is going on. Well, this is the reversal of that. That all the languages are there, but God is helping them hear in their own language, showing them that he is their God and that they're his people. It's a dramatic reversal in a spectacular way. And then you have Peter, one of the disciples, the loudmouth one. It should have been like what Peter means in Greek or something, right? And he stands up to give this amazing sermon in Acts chapter 2. And the purpose of all of what he says is he's saying there's repentance and forgiveness in Jesus' name. It shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this is another miracle of the Holy Spirit. Just 7 weeks earlier, Jesus had been killed for speaking out concerning the things of God. And what did Peter do during that time? He denied any association with Jesus, not once, but three times. And now he's standing up in front of all these people. The Holy Spirit is giving him the word and the boldness. And he's saying, hey, forgiveness is for you. Turn away from your sin and turn towards Jesus, your Savior and Lord, who's paid the price for you. And this message isn't just for the people in Acts chapter 2. This message is for you and I as well. We need to be saved. We need to be saved from our sins and the judgment that our sin has brought down upon us. The sin that began in the garden when our first parents, Adam and Eve, decided they wanted to be their own God. And so they gave in to temptation. They disobeyed what God told them. And then judgment came. They were driven out from the garden. They were cut off from the tree of life. They were dispersed. From dust you are to dust you shall return. And this is the same sinful tendency that we have. We desire to be our own gods more times than not. And we see that again at the Tower of Babel. God comes down after they try to build up this tower. He sees their puny efforts. He confuses their language. He scatters them to the wind. Why? Because every time we try to be our own God, we end up failing miserably. And we do this. We don't listen to what God says. Or we think we know better than what God does. And so we try every single silver bullet that we can find in this world to bring us happiness or contentment, to bring us fulfillment in life or enrichment. And everything we try doesn't work. Just look around the world. Look around your family or our community, or even our country. Everybody's trying all these kind of things, various things, and it's not filling the God-shaped hole in their heart because only God can fill that. And we try it as followers of Jesus at times. And what happens? Well, it's always a wrong move. And the judgment's always the same: death, confusion, and discord. That's why we have to be saved. We can't do it ourselves. We have to be saved and we have to be rescued by Jesus. And that's what God has done for us. He's given us Jesus to rescue us. He's given us the Holy Spirit to give us faith. And Jesus paid the price for us. He redeemed us. He rescued us. He died on the cross to gain our forgiveness. And that cross of Christ is the tower that does reach to the heavens. He lifts us up. He takes us there. Christ our Savior rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. The Holy Spirit's poured out on us. That's the good news. That's the gospel that all people everywhere need to hear. So that's what Pentecost is all about. It's God's people, His church, beginning a worldwide outreach. And not only do Parthians and Medes get the good news, all people do. All those mentioned in the book of Acts heard the mighty works of God being told in their own tongue. But so do these folks today. Lutherans and Baptists and people who are non-denominational, who worship the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they receive the good news of forgiveness and grace. So do Italians and Germans and Texans and Tennesseans, people from Illinois and Washington State and California. Bulldogs in Mississippi State and Georgia and Missouri alike. Aggies and Gators and Longhorns and Tigers, both LSU and Auburn. Gamecocks and Razorbacks and Wildcats and Rebels, Commodores and Volunteers. And yes, even Crimson Tides. By the grace of God, the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all of us in our baptism. And Jesus is for everyone. That's what Peter's telling us. We hear the gospel of Christ. And the first Pentecost was the beginning. Pentecost 2023 is a continuation. Because now the gospel is being proclaimed to everyone who dwells on the earth. Every nation, every tribe, every people. Every language. And Jesus allows you and I on this Pentecost to be people who share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, because He's given us faith and He's given us the boldness, He's given us the words to go and share that hope and joy of Jesus with those in our community, in our family, in whatever circle of influence we have. We get to play that role. We get to be part of this by the grace of God, because everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. May you and I receive that grace and forgiveness that Jesus has given us, and may we share it today and always. Amen.